On this week's episode, the boys will discuss the Hills West football team in the Suffolk County Championship this weekend. We'll talk NFL, the return of college hoops, the MLB awards tonight, and a lot more. Let's do it. Welcome to episode number 8 of season 3. We've got an action-packed podcast today. I'm Douglas Satugo alongside Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, and Mike Garofa. We have a few guests inside the studio. Ryan Dixon, Keshav Khanna, Constantine. What's happening, guys? We are thrilled to have you guys here listening live on set of our podcast this week.
Well, on set, there was a price of admission. Special people only in here. Fortunately, they're special, so they didn't have to pay.
Yeah, but they had the press pass.
Of course.
The podcast press pass.
The new ones.
And the brand new, just printed.
Just made them like five seconds ago.
I'm ready
ago.
For
it's
a
fine.
Great podcast.
Fresh off the press. Let's do it.
I was fired up for the Fantasy Football Breakdown, which you guys should check out. We did it earlier in the day. It's up, ready for you guys. If you need anything fantasy-related, check that out. Ben and I worked on that earlier on.
Yeah, great piece of material right there. Fantasy Football Breakdown coming to you every Thursday around noon, 12:30. It's Doug and I, Garofa, producing behind the scenes, of course, and we're bringing you all the info you need.
So I was fired up during that show. I'm even more fired up for this show. And let's just talk about Hills West football. Getting back to the Suffolk County Championship, that is, they've been there 4 years in a row, all the years that we've been here at High School West. So just let's just talk about that. It's a dynasty here at Hills West.
It's truly something special. I mean, we're blessed enough to have seen four straight county championships in all of our years here in high school. That's truly amazing. I love that we've been able to broadcast these games. It's really been, like I said, it's been a blessing. So I'm really thankful for that. And this team gonna go out there. Hopefully we're gonna have a good game this week. So it's gonna be a fight.
Yeah, we definitely got a little emotional on the broadcast last week. Just realizing it's probably our last football broadcast here at Hills West. But we will be back for a little basketball, too, which is always exciting as well.
Of course, sports are a year-round thing. It was our last football broadcast. Was I a little upset about it? Yeah. Is it the end of the Colts corner? Nope.
Nope.
So we're still producing, churning great content out here. And that 9-0 win over Sayville, obviously pretty remarkable win. Wasn't the most entertaining high school game you'll see, but a very competitive football game. A lot of miscues. We talked about the Sayville snap into the end zone for a safety. We talked about the refs missing Gerald Flaherty on the punt. His knee clearly went down, and Hills West definitely a huge break there. It was only a one-possession game there, and it would have been the equivalent to a block punt there for Sayville. So the refs definitely missed a call there. But all in all, Hills West definitely did play better than Sayville that game. And, yeah, 9-0 win. Great win over a much-improved Sayville team, and yep. I'm excited for the Suffolk County Championship against West Hampton this week.
Yeah, the defense was dominant in that game. Just the linebackers, you got Mike Rubia, Jake Seta, Joey Venezia on the outside, but one standout player was Mike Smith. Yep. He was a beast in that game. We said his name like 50 times on that broadcast. That it takes a lot to shut out a team in the playoffs, and Hills West was able to do it. Offensively, they were great. A lot of it went through Justin Brown. They gave him the ball. He had some big plays. He had the only touchdown that game. I believe it was a 60-yard run. I don't know the exact number. It was a long run for Justin
62.
Brown.
62-yard
touchdown run from Justin Brown. It was a great game offensively, too. Even though the points weren't there, we had some nice drives. Moved the ball well, especially when we were bouncing it outside. And we're looking for a good one this week.
Yeah, LIC coming up this Saturday, 4 o'clock at Stony Brook. I will not be able to attend Syracuse-Notre Dame Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. It's tough to miss that one. Both teams, Cuse at number 12, Notre Dame, I'm not sure, are they number 4?
Number three.
So number 3 against number 12 in one of the best games possibly of the season. Going to be a chilly one as well, similar to last Saturday where our toes almost froze off.
Oh, man.
It was an electric environment, but not that electric where I was warm.
I was nice and warm.
I mean, I didn't really feel my lower body for a couple of hours after the game, but we went home, we warmed up, and it was definitely worth the risk was worth the reward.
Definitely
sure.
Some tingling in my toes.
Absolutely,
driving
Dougie.
Benjamin home. It was a great experience.
Safe driving experience?
It was a very safe driving experience. Did you get home safely?
I did get home safely.
Doug's a great driver. A plus.
I appreciate
it. Doug, did you get home safely?
I did, but I'm a little worried for my safety coming home from this podcast.
The first snow of the winter season
coming down today. I've never driven in the snow, so I'm a little bit worried. Not going
to
lie.
I drove here. It was just starting to snow, so the roads were fine. But it's really something. It's going to be tough on the way back, Doug. It is.
Yeah, it should be. So get your wallets ready for the Suffolk County Championship at Stony Brook. It's a small fee, not going to break the bank for you. But they want fan support. They need your enthusiasm. And support the Colts where you're red, white, gold, all the school colors. And support the Hills West football team as they look to make it to the LIC, which would be at Hofstra, I believe. So go out and support and enjoy the game. Now we're going to move to the professional level. Let's talk some NFL. A couple great games last week, and could possibly be the best game on the NFL schedule so far, with the Chiefs and the Rams on Monday night. But we'll hold back on that. Let's go in order a little bit. Let's talk about some games, starting with possibly tonight with Seattle and Green Bay. Should be a good one.
Yeah, one thing with Green Bay. In that game to look for. They've started to have quite the ground game right now. Aaron Jones he's balling out in that backfield right now. He had over 140 yards rushing last week, two touchdowns, an absolute beast on the fantasy, in the fantasy lineups. He's definitely on the come up. A borderline RB1, Matthew Berry is saying.
Wow.
So that's something to look for there. But yeah, that's a new element to their offense that they really haven't had in past years, really since Eddie Lacy that one year when you really want to go back. And that's a potentially dangerous team if they can get their offense rolling with Aaron Rodgers and a run game. That's a scary sight.
Yeah, somehow that guy Aaron Jones was on the free agency pool in the sports marketing league, which isn't too hard to believe considering it's just a little bit of a joke league, which I am in first place in. One loss. We're electric in that league, but there goes my credibility for the fantasy football breakdown.
And we're talking about Aaron Jones, definitely a special talent out there, taking the reins as that number one back in Green Bay. Also excited to see Rodgers in primetime, opportunity you can never pass up. And I'm also excited to see my boy, a little breakout player for the Packers, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MBS, the rookie out of South Florida. This guy's a beast. He's really coming into his own. He's on my fantasy team, and yeah, I'm excited to see that Packers offense go tonight.
Who do you play this week in fantasy?
Skaggs.
Oh, my. That's the easiest win you'll ever have.
Hey, that was easy last week for me.
I'm knocking on wood.
Skaggs, if you're listening,
buddy.
Is
this wood?
What
is this?
It's plastic
wood,
or wood?
This is wood.
Seems like wood.
I have actually something to input. So, Wilson, I don't know who.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
So,
he's a baseball player.
I should have known that.
Yeah, he's a baseball player. He's
so
on the
he's actually
the
second worst.
Rice, Mike.
He's second worst in the league with 204 yards lost on sacks, which is really bad. The Seahawks are really gonna if that keeps happening. That's gonna really hurt there.
Wow,
I think
that's more of a testament to the Seattle offensive line than Wilson himself. Because
right.
Wilson's obviously doing
everything he can to make that stop, but that offensive line is brutal.
Mike, I love the input there, and just want to say tonight
I gotta help. You know,
tonight's a pretty crucial game for both teams. Both teams in the hunt. Green Bay, right outside looking in. They're seventh in the NFC, and Seattle's ninth. So it's pretty much a must-win for these teams at this point, and I'm excited to watch tonight.
Two outstanding quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead, Brian. Just say it.
Oh.
He's a bad man.
Oh, yeah. He's a bad man.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, no, he's
and,
very bad.
And Russell Wilson, who's just magical. The guy creates for himself at the quarterback position, escaping tacklers, making throws, and uses legs effectively. So it should be a really good game. Both teams mediocre this year, not usually at the level that we are accustomed to seeing, but should be a good Thursday night game. And we'll move on to some 1 o'clock games on Sunday. I don't want to breeze over this one because Jacksonville has been so bad. But you just got to talk Steelers, Jacksonville, what's happened last year, and the transformation of Jacksonville into a dumpster fire, 3-6, just in last place in the division. It's almost embarrassing what's gone on.
Yeah, Jacksonville's pretty pathetic this year. There's really no other way to say it. They've been a massive disappointment. And really, when you look at their talent on paper. It's really not that surprising offensively. Bortles is their QB. Look at their wide receivers, Keelan Cole, Dante Moncrief, yep. D.D. Westbrook. These aren't guys you're looking at, and, oh, they have a bona fide number one receiver, or they have a bona fide number two receiver, to be quite honest. So they really don't have that skill on offense like a lot of the other great teams in the NFL do. And the Steelers, man, they're really one of the hottest teams in the league right now, winning 5 in a row, going to Jacksonville. They're favored by 5.5 this week, and I like them this week big, to be honest, because the Steelers are playing great, and Jacksonville has really been disappointing so far.
Words cannot describe how surprised I am with that Steelers win last week. I'm the biggest believer in the Carolina Panthers. I think they're a huge team in the NFC, and you cannot sleep on the Panthers. I think Cam Newton's a top quarterback in the NFL, always underrated, and I think the Panthers can seriously do some damage this year. And the Steelers made them look silly. That was a crazy game in my opinion. Watching that game last week, I don't think Jacksonville stands even remotely a chance. The Steelers are rolling right now.
Yeah. Also, 3 days rest for Carolina on the road, a Thursday night. It's not a real clear representation of what Carolina is. I think they're a much better football team than that. But definitely a dominating performance by the Steelers. And let's talk about another Steeler, or maybe not a Steeler,
former
next
Steeler.
Season. Yeah, right. Did not sign the franchise tag. Le'Veon Bell missed the deadline. And this is a guy who I drafted number one overall in two leagues. Two leagues! You know how difficult that is to come back from as a fantasy owner? Your number one overall pick does not even play for you the whole season. The guy holds out. He will not play football for the remainder of the 2018-2019 season. And he'll be able to choose whatever he wants going into next season. Just a little bit disappointed and confused with the move. I understand. Doesn't want to be injured. Doesn't believe he's making enough money. But at the end of the day, you're missing a full year of NFL football. And we'll see how he does next year. Just a little baffled by that.
Yeah, and the shelf life on these running backs is very low. Your running backs tend to decline around age 30 in this NFL right now. So this is a year lost in his prime of the NFL right now, and that's very surprising to me that he would just take that off. And I think it's going to hurt him in the long run. He lost a lot of money this year, and I don't think he's going to be able to make it back.
I mean, yeah, you hate to see it. Really did lose a lot of money. Killed a lot of fantasy owners. But as much as I want to bash the guy, he'll be wearing the gangrene next year for the Jets.
He will.
And, I mean, fresh legs. I'm looking at it from a positive outcome, but in all seriousness, I don't agree with his decision to sit out. Let his teammates down and really left a lot of money on the table. I don't know if it'll benefit him. And if it does benefit him, it really is something huge to look out for in the future of the NFL for that running back position. And if it works for him, maybe seeing a lot more of this in the future.
Yeah, let's move on. We just spoke about Le'Veon, but it is disappointing. But let's talk a little bit of a game that I didn't really expect to be talking about probably at this time in the season. The 5-4 Tennessee Titans go into the 4-5 Indianapolis Colts. Tennessee's rolling right now. Something's clicked on their offense. Their defense has come together. Dominant win last week against Tom Brady and the Patriots, 34-10. I'm a believer in this Tennessee team right now, and I think that they could make a playoff push as they lead that division, or they're one game behind the Texans, I believe, in that division.
I'll tell you what's rolling for him offensively is Corey Davis.
Yep.
He's a star wide receiver in the making right now, and Corey Davis is going to be something special in a few years. Not even a few years. He's starting to be something special right now, and I didn't get to listen to the Fantasy Football Breakdown yet, but that is a guy you should be trading for. And you guys can't trade for him in any of your leagues because I own him in all my leagues right now. So you guys can't trade for him because I'm not looking to exactly give him up. But that's a guy you got to go after right now as the trade deadline approaches. He's got a 37% target share in that offense. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
That's top five in the NFL, I think. Definitely got to go after. He's a special talent.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Davis has been great. Those who watched him in his Western Michigan days knows his potential, and he's starting to live up to it in the NFL. And the Titans, really, Marcus Mariota getting back to form, or getting to a form maybe we haven't seen him before,
yep.
Playing at a great level. And Derrick Henry, a guy we talked about early in the season as someone who was going to have a monster year, really hasn't, but has had at least a touchdown in the past three games. We mentioned that on the breakdown before. So he's really becoming a factor in that offense, and everyone's playing well for the Titans right now.
Yeah, also, I'm sorry, Mike. I just want to just talk a little bit. You want to talk Tennessee or you want to talk Indy?
Well, I actually just had quick information. Was the overall in the series of all time between these two. The Colts and the Titans. The Colts are up 19 wins. They're 26-7 against the Titans in their career, which is that's really a
lot. That's utter domination.
Yeah, it is. So I wonder if that's going to be in play too.
I also don't want to count out Indianapolis here. They're playing much better football. Their offense is going, and it's led by Andrew Luck. And Eric Ebron's been a special weapon on that offense. Clearly did not perform well enough in Detroit with the Lions. Was a high draft pick. Never panned out with Matt Stafford. But Andrew Luck and Ebron have found a connection in Indianapolis. And that offense, something's going on that's working. The running backs, they've got a few in the backfield, Hines, Mack. They're all figuring it out. And I like Indianapolis going forward, but I'm a believer in Tennessee.
Fun fact with Indianapolis, they trail only the Chargers, Steelers, Chiefs, and why is that last name escaping me? It was one other team that they trail in winning streaks, and it's the Texans in the longest winning streak in the AFC right now, and that's something to look out for. They played a few big games on that stretch. Also, they just beat Jacksonville, who, like we said, has not nearly been to the level that they were last season this year, but that was still a huge game for them. And I'm looking for Indianapolis right now to try and make a push at least for the wild card, and they might be coming for that division.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of factors in the AFC, a lot of teams playing well. Didn't necessarily start the team well, and Brian start the year well. And Brian brought up one of those teams, the Houston Texans,
mm-hmm.
who have won, what, six in a row?
Six in a row.
And they're in sole possession of the AFC South. If you said that to me in week three, I'd be looking at you like you're crazy. They lost to the Giants at home.
Yeah.
And they're really playing great football right now. And that's another marquee game this weekend, the 6-3 Texans traveling to Landover, Maryland to take on the 6-3 Washington Redskins. That's definitely a great game, and I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah. Washington, to me, is an interesting team here. They seem to be up and down. Their defense plays well sometimes, is shaky at others. Alex Smith has not performed as well as he did last year, but he's still at a decent level where he's thrown 10 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. But I think that this game is going to be determined on if Deshaun Watson continues to play well. Deshaun Watson runs the Houston Texans offense. If he goes, they go. He can use his legs. He can throw the football effectively. He's got DeAndre Hopkins, Demaryius Thomas. Lamar Miller's always a consistent player out of the backfield. And I like Houston right now, and I think that Washington is just weak. I don't love Washington, and I really don't love anybody in that division, Washington, Eagles, or the Giants. I think it's just a toss-up. And it will come down to the wire, that division.
Giants.
Well, yeah, definitely not the Giants, but I'm definitely not sold on Washington going in to the rest of the season. And I like Houston in this one. I just don't see Washington as being a solid team at all.
Well, the Texans actually, in the 6-game winning streak, they've only allowed 110 points, too, which means that their defense has been outstanding as well. So they've been maintaining that they've been maintaining leads in this entire stretch. It's really good for them.
Mikey Stats. I love it.
Unbelievable. And it was concerning early on in the season. Houston's defense was getting demolished by the opponents. And they were just giving up points all over the board. But it's J.J. Watt and that defense that has figured it out with Jadeveon Clowney on the other side. And they've got stuff figured out. Let's just talk about three other games that are almost marquee matchups. We'll talk Philadelphia and New Orleans. Okay, Eagles, Saints, arguably the best team in the NFL at this point. And as I spoke about the Eagles, I'm not really sold on them yet. I don't love the way they're playing, but they're figuring stuff out, I guess. Did lose to the Cowboys last week. Congratulations, Keyshaw, big win. But this should be an intriguing matchup, and it all comes down to if Philly can stop New Orleans offense.
Right, that New Orleans offense is something special. We've mentioned it a few times on this podcast. They have the three-headed monster that they have, Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and Michael Thomas. And then Michael Thomas is by far playing the best football right now at the wide receiver position, in my mind, in the NFL right now. And that's coming from the biggest DeAndre Hopkins fan out there. So that he's been something special out there. That whole Saints offense has been ridiculous so far. Honestly, the Eagles aren't going to be able to stop them in this game. Their defense is—they're shredded at the cornerback position with injuries.
Ronald Darby.
Yep, he's out of the year. They're having a lot of trouble stopping anyone right now, even in the run game, as Zeke went off last week against them, and that's someone who hasn't even been running the ball too great this season necessarily, but it is Ezekiel Elliott. He shredded that defense. So I do not have any faith in the Eagles right now. They have a very tough schedule down the stretch. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off, and this game is definitely against the hottest team in the NFL. I would count them out in this one.
Yeah, real quick, that game, nothing too much to cover. I think the Saints win big. Their offense really been unstoppable, and Philadelphia is really shorthanded on D. So I like New Orleans big in that one.
Another big game, Sunday Night Football, Minnesota Vikings traveling to Chicago to play the 6-3 Bears over there. And that's another premier game. And there's a couple of them on this schedule, and we'll get to Monday night's game. But that's one that you circle on your calendar, and you're looking for a big week from both teams. Trubisky playing great football. Vikings defense always solid. Should be a good one.
Yeah, definitely should be a great one. The elements in Chicago, can't get you the exact forecast on that one right now, but you know it's going to be a chilly one. And Trubisky really playing out of his mind right now at the highest level he's played in his career. This is the guy that Chicago thought they drafted with that second overall pick a few years back, and he's certainly playing like it now. Minnesota needs to get going. Stephon Diggs coming back from injury off a bye, and I like Minnesota to be nice and fresh here, and I'm expecting a pretty good game here. I'm not really sure how it's going to play out, but Minnesota and Chicago, two great teams in the NFC North, excuse me, and I'm really excited to see how this one plays out.
So the weather for Sunday, it is going to be 35 and cloudy.
Give me the 8 p.m. I need like the 8 p.m. Sunday.
I can't get that on the weather app.
We'll take at least minus 10 off that 34.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
it's going to be 24 lowest. So
factor in that wind chill. It's going to be cold out there, baby.
Yeah, totally.
One thing I was going to say, then you bring up an interesting point with Mitch Trubisky and them actually seeming to have hit their target with and trying and getting what they've drafted here. That bodes well for us Jet fans. I don't think we've seen a bust quarterback in the early first round since Jameis Winston, maybe. If you even want to go out there and consider him a bust already, which I would, but that's a bold statement right there as is. And you have a lot of guys that have been playing really well. Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky, a lot of guys that have been drafted really early and have been playing really well in the NFL right now. And that bodes well for the future of Sam Darnold, I think. I mean, if we want to make that connection.
We'll see. He needs to be in the right situation. I don't know if we're going to talk about the whole Jets situation eventually.
We will. We'll do a wrap-up.
There's a lot to get into with that. And, Brian, you also, Baker Mayfield's in that conversation, too. He's really playing great.
Right. And he's already seeming to make an impact, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, Cleveland has a bye this week. I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins. I love Chicago. I love what they're doing. So let's move on to the next game. Monday Night Football, originally in Mexico City, now back in L.A. Kansas City Chiefs, L.A. Rams, possibly the best game the NFL will see this season. Both 9-1. I'm excited to watch this football.
It's offense galore here, Doug. It's going to be an absolute shootout. I see it as the highest over-under in NFL history. And I'm really excited. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is out for the Rams, but the weapons are still prevailing. The Rams, you got Gurley, you got Cooks, you got Woods. You love all three of those guys with Goff manning the offense. Chiefs, we can name everyone. We got Mahomes, we got Hill, we got Kelsey. It's just amazing. I don't know if you're going to see a game this season with that type of talent. It's just must-see TV, appointment television Monday night.
Absolutely must-see TV. And it is the highest over-under in NFL history, and I think I'm still taking the over. That's how good these offenses
pounded
are in this game.
I don't know what the number is. But
also, L.A.
It was high.
Sorry, I couldn't give that to you.
L.A. losing Cooper Kupp for the rest of the season. That is a huge loss for their offense. Very underrated player in that slot position. Huge fantasy guy. We spoke about some replacements on the fantasy football breakdown.
Josh Reynolds, I'm guessing.
Yes, yep. We did. And Mr. Gerald Everett, who I called last week.
That was a great call.
That was low-key.
A lot of credit.
A huge call. And give me the credibility. Just put me on the mountain of the credibility. We're close. We're working our way up that mountain.
The Mount Rushmore of fantasy football breakdown. Me, Doug, Vance McDonald, Gerald Everett.
Yes.
Let's get it built.
Definitely. Ryan Dixon, maybe we'll have your head built on there as well one day. Ryan Dixon, I want to get him on here. I want him to say a few words. Talk about whatever you want.
I'm just very happy with my fantasy team right now. We're on a 5-week win streak right now. And it's insane. I made a trade for Zeke 2 weeks ago, and my team ever since has been phenomenal. And then tonight, I made a trade for Tyreek Hill, and he went off. So I'm looking forward to another great week and another phenomenal day of fantasy football.
Well said, Ryan Dixon.
The future.
There's a preview of what you're going to see.
Right there.
And Yeah, talk about a personality on the microphone. You don't even know who this guy is, and you already feel a connection with him. Great
future member of the podcast.
He is. The guy should be leading guy on the podcast.
New Doug.
Future to come. Let's talk return of college basketball.
Yeah!
Sorry, that was
that
loud.
Was a little too loud.
Sorry, that was
everybody
loud.
Everybody in the
but I love,
you
I
made
love,
the thing go as high
I
as it can.
I love college basketball. I'm excited it's back. And let me just say, Duke. I hate Duke. They are fun to watch.
Oh, I love
they,
Duke.
I mean, obviously, it's the tournament. Anything can happen in March. It's November. Just enjoy what you're seeing right now. You got Zion Williamson, the biggest freak in nature in the history of basketball. And he's not even the best player on his team, in my opinion. I think R.J. Barrett is the best player on the team.
I don't even think that's an opinion. That's a fact right there.
R.J. Barrett is so complete. Zion Williamson, also so complete. Cam Reddish, they got the top three freshmen in the country. It's definitely something you could look out for. I'm sorry for yelling if wherever you're listening, if I startled you
a little
there.
That was the loudest thing ever on the podcast. Let's just put it that way.
Don't worry about yelling. I've yelled multiple times on this podcast. I'm trying to calm myself down.
No, but that was like a sharp
yell. We have never reached that whole wavelength.
That wasn't in a rant or anything like that. That was just a sharp yell. Everybody in the library just looked. It was great.
That's the yell that you get when Luke Voigt goes yard and wins you a game in extra innings. That's the yell that you're here.
Really so, matter.
Enough, Mike. Enough. We're not even going to bring... Let's not even bring up DeGrom. Okay?
Oh, okay.
We don't need to bring up DeGrom. Okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Whatever. You had your fame. Uh-huh. Mets have more awards than the Yankees. Congratulations. But DeGrom... What else can you say about the guy? We're not transitioning. We're talking about college hoops. We're talking about college hoops. Mike just has me riled up on DeGrom.
I think there's one story in college hoops right now, and that's really about it, is the Duke basketball team. Am I right?
No, there's more stories than that. You look at team in New York. You got the Buffalo Bulls, now ranked 25th nationally. Shout out to my Uncle Cliff. He went there. And they went on the road last Friday. They beat West Virginia on the road. And that's a team that... will keep on rising up the rankings. Just a mid-major to look out for. The average fan listening to this might not know about them, but they returned pretty much all their team from last year that absolutely walloped Arizona in the tournament. And a win at West Virginia, that's the type of win that gets you into the tournament come March. And C.J. Massenburg, that's a name to know. He dropped 43 in that game. And college basketball is great. Unfortunately, it's my time to go. And...
we will miss you,
Benjamin. I know you guys will still be churning out some info for the podcast. I'll listen to the rest. But for myself, I just want to say, I'll see you next week.
Hey, Ben, thank you, Benjamin. Have a great flu shot, buddy.
Thanks, man.
And enjoy the snow. Enjoy the snow.
I'll be doing some snow angels.
Yeah,
safe driving.
Just a quick shout-out last night, or two nights ago. I believe it was last night. Yeah, Michigan beating Villanova early
a
on.
A lot.
They crushed them by 30 points.
One last thing before I go. I watched the majority of that game. It was the most shocking thing I've ever seen. Michigan, very complete.
Michigan's dominating, and it could be – it should give us some intel on what's to come in the college hoops with college hoops in the future. Well, our next and final topic, we'll talk MLB awards. Garofa, we know that you're going to chirp. And I have two Met fans.
I'm not chirping.
I have two Met fans and just myself.
Out,
Ben is now
unless
left.
You want
I'm
him to come on.
Keyshaw's in the corner. But what can I say about DeGrom? He's the best pitcher in the MLB, probably the MVP of the league. Definitely the most valuable player to his team that I've seen in recent years. And that's the definition of an MVP. He goes out, he wins the Cy Young. Okay, there's your first award. But you have to give this guy the MVP. There's not a more valuable player to their team than Jacob DeGrom. Look at the numbers. This guy was playing with no run support, possibly one or two runs a game, and he was dominant on the mound.
He was DeGrominant.
I don't know what Absolutely. Else to say about DeGrom. Trades, the potential trades, talking Torres for DeGrom, that would never happen in a million years.
I wouldn't want that either.
There is no possible way... That the Mets would trade DeGrom for Torres, and if the Yankees were getting that offer, you got to cash in.
Yeah, I think the only reason he didn't win MVP is because the Mets just suck, so they didn't do anything. So there's no way for him to be that important. But if they won and they made it to the playoffs, I'd say DeGrom could be definitely an MVP.
Well, candidate. Has the MVP has not been handed out yet?
I know, but he's not even in the top three. So that's the he's not in
I
the.
Thought, I thought he was.
So no, tell me the NL top three.
It's Baez, Arenado, and Yelich.
Okay.
So and
I thought DeGrom. I saw DeGrom in the mix earlier in the week, and that was why I thought he was in there. But
no, he'll probably be.
I agree. He can't be in the mix in my opinion with because the Mets just weren't good enough. Yeah. Well, those three guys are excellent players. Also, so
just think about where the Mets would be without DeGrom.
Even worse.
The worst team in the league.
But if the Mets would be without DeGrom, they didn't win the games when DeGrom pitched, so they'd be about the same.
Well, they only won like 15 games when he pitched, so they would still be just.
So what do you lose? Six more games than normal. I mean, yeah, he's definitely an excellent pitcher, the best in the MLB this year by a long shot, in my opinion. But MVP, I just don't think you could do it because the Mets just weren't good enough.
Whatever. Christian Yelich should be your NL MVP.
Yeah, absolutely.
Outstanding season.
Absolutely.
Baez definitely in the mix as well.
I would take Arenado over Baez, Doug.
Interesting.
Arenado was special this year, but Yelich is my guy.
Yelich is totally my guy in the NL.
One quick thing. There is a little bit of a rumor that Josh Donaldson to the Mets could be a possibility because all these teams that are looking at him are also mainly looking at Manny Machado. So if the Mets put themselves in as a front runner and really are interested in him, they could possibly ink him to a one-year deal, which he is willing to accept. So to have that guy at third base would be great. I don't see it happening at all, but that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I
mean,
isn't he washed up also a little bit?
He just had an injury season this year. Right? If he wasn't hurt, he only played 57 games or something like that this season, so you really can't base it on that. But, I mean, you really can't. A guy like that I wouldn't want to pass up on. He's going to be better than Todd Frazier.
That is very true.
All right. Don't trash the Todd father. I love the man.
I love Todd Frazier.
He's a good guy.
I totally understand what you're saying. He's a much cheaper option than Manny Machado at third base or shortstop. And Donaldson's got a lot of talent. I'm telling you, I've watched him in Toronto play against the Yankees. That guy's electric. When he's on, he's dangerous. So if the Mets somehow figure it out and get Donaldson on their roster, that's a huge bat in the middle of their lineup, and they still have Jay Bruce coming back, Cespedes. They've got some bats. I know you're ucking that.
It's stay healthy, and they're contenders. If they don't stay healthy, they're absolutely not contenders. It's that simple with the Mets.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're never healthy. So it's just the life of a Mets fan. Get excited, and then just have your hopes and dreams crushed by the end of April.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I've been a Mets fan for a while. It's just life.
Champs
Doug,
of April.
You don't even know
Champs
what it's like,
April,
buddy.
Yeah, never got those
Doug, you're never. A Steeler fan, you're a Ranger fan, and you're a Yankee
Ranger
fan.
Ranger fan. We have four Stanley Cups in our franchise history.
Doug, I'm a Ranger fan too, buddy.
We're saying that's a good thing.
I'm saying these are all good things.
No, I'm saying it's not that good. They've been around since 1920.
Doug, in our lifetime, the Rangers have been pretty good.
Fair enough.
You've won quite a few rings.
The fact that the Rangers are the worst team that you root for is definitely a good
sign. That's false. The New York Knickerbockers are the worst.
But we're all in the same boat with the Knicks. That doesn't count. You don't
know what it's like to have
a team in the other side of town in the New York Yankees or the other side of town in the New York Giants who wins Super Bowls, wins World Series, does that while your team's at the bottom of the league for your entire life.
Well, you know what? Last season, Met fans coming up to us, oh, we're now the new Kings of New York. Yeah, the Kings of failure.
We could be the Kings of New York.
The Kings of failure.
We could be the Kings of New York for a year and still not even be remotely close to being the actual Kings of New York.
That's true.
That's the bottom line.
I'm going to be honest. Mets, we just say that to make ourselves feel good because we all know we're just going to suck next year anyway. So it's fine.
I'm not against the Mets. I hope that they do well because I feel bad for these people. I feel bad for you guys.
You should
guys.
Feel bad for me.
This is awful.
Pity me. You should feel bad for me.
And the Jets
fans. You should feel horrible for me. I'm a Jet fan. I'm a Jet fan and a Met fan. You should feel bad for me.
You've had a tough experience with sports. We'll do a quick electric player of the week. Garafa, you had a lot of stuff ready to go for this electric player. And
I do.
Just give it to us right now.
Okay, so my electric player of the week is Mitchell Trubisky. Last week, he had 355 passing yards with three pass touchdowns. He had 18 rush yards, not a lot, but he scored 36 overall fantasy points, which is really good. So got to look good for him. He's had a really good season thus far, and you got to look for a very great year out of him.
My electric player of the week. I don't even think there's any competition in my mind. He's on my fantasy team. He led me to a win last week over Skaggs. Yes, it wasn't necessarily him because Skaggs' team is not the best, and my team's playing some good fantasy football right now, but it's Zach Ertz. He put up 40.5 fantasy points for me, 14 receptions, 145 yards, 2 touchdowns, the number one tight end in fantasy football. I don't think there's a debate around that with him and Travis Kelce. I think it's him, Travis Kelce, then everyone else, and Zach Ertz is definitely the number one. Playing some great football right now. Yes, Keish, you're giving me an L right now because he did lose in that game. I don't care if the Eagles lost. He put up 40.5 fantasy points for me. I love the guy. Let's go, Zach Ertz.
Yeah, electricity from Zach Ertz last week. My electric player of the week, Big Ben Roethlisberger, the 6'5 beast quarterback, the number 4 position ranked QB in fantasy football. This guy is a freak, an outstanding quarterback, should be at the top of the league, at least top 5 in the quarterback discussion. And he's playing some really good football right now. 39.8 fantasy points last week, 5 touchdowns in a shortened appearance against Carolina. Big Ben is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, an outstanding pleasure to watch every week. And he's doing wonders with that Steelers offense as they look to play Jacksonville and win. So that should wrap up.
Yeah. We got to have someone else do it. Ben's not here.
Keish is comfortable.
He's
in that chair
right now.
Over there.
We know his electric player. It's Zeke. Whatever. They won, sure. Oh, he's saying it's LeBron, but I really think it would be Zeke, buddy. You're a Cowboy fan. He had a good week, sure. Zach Ertz is my electric player of the week, though. I think he was the standout player in that game.
Totally agree with you. So a great electric player segment this week. As we always do, we like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Rashudi, Dr. Catapano, and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience who listens every Thursday. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Douglas Aduka, alongside Brian Flatow, Mike Arafa, Keyshov's in the corner. Benjamin Dixon had to leave early, but he always puts in some great stuff. For a great podcast this week. We'll see you guys next week, and enjoy sports.
Get home safely.